is Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz.
With Gugule Dumfuphi.
On Kaya 959.
On the street.
On the air.
It's 23 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, yesterday was quite an eventful day, right, where we heard from the South African Reserve Bank in unexpected news. But for many in the market, they do say that perhaps we should have anticipated this, as it is quite a positive move by the Reserve Bank. As the announcement was made that the SARB had taken the decision to place UBank under curatorship as a result of its capital adequacy challenges, sitting well below the current requirements of 15% at currently 3% for the bank. However, the Reserve Bank governor made it very clear that the entity still remains operational and, of course, functional. And in a moment, we'll hear from one of our guests who will give us some insight into this particular company. As many South Africans might have sat back and thought to themselves, who is UBank? Who do they bank in South Africa? And of course, what's their history and what's the base around this particular entity? Well, today we're going to get some clarity on exactly that, speaking to the entity itself. But of course, that's been proven to be a bit of a challenge, as it has been placed under curatorship, which essentially means that KPMG is fully in charge and responsible for the roles, duty and function of the board and the executive team. But if you haven't heard about UBank specifically, they are an entity that primarily services players within the mining fraternity. Some of their biggest shareholders are the likes of the National Union of Mine Workers, who essentially have collaborated and previously called it Teba Limited, to give us an opportunity to actually save, invest and of course contribute to the livelihoods of many mine workers in South Africa. But to give us some details into this, unpacking what it means and most importantly the reaction and response by the SARB, we join on the line by Makwe Masilela. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Makwe Fund Managers. Makwe, thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Coco, and good evening to the listeners.
Good to touch base with you. I can imagine that, like many South Africans yesterday, just after 3:30, you were caught off guard by this particular announcement regarding UBank. But help us put things into context when an institution is placed under curatorship and the reasons that were shared by the South African Reserve Bank. What does it all mean to us as laymen?
I think, you know, obviously the current shareholders is expected of the trustees not to be happy, but we are happy that the Reserve Bank has been more proactive than reactive, because for the past 2 years, you know, the guys have been having some serious challenges and they've been under a watchful eye, you know, of the South African Reserve Bank to make sure that things are in place. So what you need to understand when it comes to the banking sector and most financial institutions, capital adequacy is very, very important, because basically all it does, it shows that if you might have losses, I mean, how will you be able to sustain those losses before you become to the point that maybe the company becomes insolvent. So yes, it's very critical. But UBank is not closed. That's a good thing. Depositors don't have to be worried because their money is still secured, and apparently there are potential investors into the whole situation, so they can help with the part of capital adequacy and safeguarding, you know, those deposits from the depositors, because that's very critical.
Let's talk about depositors, because many people were actually frowning to understand, hold on, how are depositors' money safe, even though the bank is currently being placed under curatorship? Help us contextualize that particular theme.
You know, basically, that's our money, hence it will show as a liability when it comes to the bank, because it's my money that I've given the bank to hold for me. You know, I've deposited the money with them. And then 98% of their liabilities when it comes to your bank is those retail depositors. So we need to safeguard that. We don't want to have a situation where depositors lose their money. So yes, banks are allowed to keep a certain money as liquid as possible, so that when we go and withdraw our money, we can be able to have it. But if all of us go and all at a go to try to withdraw the money, that money won't be in liquid form, because it gets to be invested on other things to generate some income. As an example, if they give you a return of 7% when you've put your money with them into some deposit account, whatever you want to call it, 2 days, whatever it is, the guys have to go and invest that money somewhere for them to be able to generate some return, so that they can give you something and they can also continue to make some transactional fees.
Mark, if we also take a look at much of the public response, as you say, depositors' money is still safe. the bank placed under curatorship to hopefully find some kind of source to its challenges. Many have praised the South African Reserve Bank, saying, hold on, this is actually them intervening to avoid a much larger crisis and challenge that we could be faced with in the upcoming months or years if UBank is left to the corporate governance issues and challenges that it continues to face. What's your take on the positioning of the SARB and, I guess, how proactive they've been?
I agree that they've been very proactive, because here we're busy talking about just capital adequacy, which apparently the guys managed to raise within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. But there are other issues as well, you know. Internal controls have to be in place. Governance has to be in place, because they will give you that capital adequacy money of 800 million or 8 billion. But if your internal controls are still not okay, mm-hmm. you know, if there's no proper governance, then what's going to happen to that capital adequacy that people might have been managed to inject? And I think a potential investor should also be happy that, listen, if it gets to a point that I get to invest into that bank, then I know systems are in place, because that's very critical. You want to make sure that your investment is secured. You don't even want to be called again to say, inject some more money. Remember, when capital adequacy keeps on going down, then it means you guys, the owners, the shareholders of that bank, you have to dig into your pockets to put more money to make sure that you meet that. So it's not just a question of capital adequacy. It's also a question of internal controls, which should be in place, and also the question of what you call it, the governance also has to be in place. Then all of us will be able to sleep at night that everything is nicely secured.
Very true and quite necessary. I'm also keen to get your thoughts, Makwe. As you mentioned, corporate governance issues that have been raised there. Is there any clarity in terms of what these challenges are? Because I guess that's often quite a broad term to speak and refer to what could be malfeasance that's taking place at the entity. But are we clear in terms of, you know, what activity has been lacking at UBank?
Currently, we don't have that detail, and also maybe because it's not a listed entity, but the general corporate governance issues is to make sure that whoever is supposed to do this particular role is well-defined. People don't have superpowers. People don't just sign on things, you know, without getting the necessary approvals. People don't even just take the assets of the particular company and use it without getting the necessary board approval, let alone the shareholders' approval, to make sure that everything is done according to what have been agreed upon. Because you can have an instance where you have one or two guys doing whatever that they want to do. Take the story of VPS. There have been stories that people were just doing some journal entries, you know, randomly, so to make sure that things look okay, or to find that it's just on the surface. But if you dig deeper, those things were falsified. So that's the general or the broad definition when it comes to a governance issue, that everything gets to be governed according to not just the Banking Act, but also according to the Companies Act, and also more importantly, that you continue to meet the requirements and whatever regulations that have been placed on you when you were given a particular license to become a commercial bank. Because giving a license comes with its own conditions as well. We have to make sure that you continue to not just meet those conditions. Where you can, then you have to exceed that. And that itself, for you as an entity, it will make you look very attractive. People will want to start doing business with you, let alone invest in your entity.
And I think that's also part of the concern, right? Because many people actually raise their eyebrows at the side. And Makwe, that's because unfortunately there is this negative perception in South Africa that black-owned banks, black-managed banks, don't prove to be successful financial institutions, right? And we laugh it off. But unfortunately, I guess it's the reality we deal with. As an investment professional, I guess, how do we manage this if it is a great concern?
I don't think that's fair. You know,
yeah.
Guys, remember that Sizwe used to be the head of First Rand.
Sizwe Ngasana, yes.
You know, exactly. Remember that guy who's now in charge of Standard Bank, you know,
Shabalala.
Yeah. You know, he's also doing a good job, you know. And just moving away from the banks as well, guys, MTN was mainly run by the black executives, you know.
Yes.
Look at the Metropolitan as well, you know, what is happening. So it's not like that. Yes, it's easy for people to come with those kind of conclusions. And as well, if you look at some black executives in the financial industry, you've got people who know exactly what they're doing. They're either still with those institutions or they've opened their own institutions. So it's a question, hey, okay, if that's the case, so why did Sambo go down?
I see you. I hear your rebuttal, and I think you've got a very valid point there. And I think it also does speak to, I guess, the culture of banking in South Africa, where there's a lot of flexibility, a lot of freedom. And we've also spoiled for choice, right, in terms of banks in South Africa. Is that, I guess, something that does play a role in terms of managing some of these perceptions that we also need to be cognizant of?
Yeah, and to think about it, we don't even have enough banks back home here, you know. We used to have the Big Four, then we just have Capitec, then now lately we've got the two others who just come in, your Time Bank, your Discovery Bank, and we still have to have more. If you compare ourselves with other developed economies, because that's where we see ourselves, so it means we have to make sure that we have to be spoiled for choice. And gradually we're getting there, and it will also help us as consumers, because as a result, more competition will result in more getting less fees that we need to pay as consumers. So that's good for us, but I still feel that there's still space for more players to come into the whole banking thing. Remember, banking, people don't necessarily have one bank account with one bank, you know.
True.
As I'm talking to you, probably might be having two or three with different banks. Yes, you will have the main account, but banking people are allowed, and it's easy. People have two, three different banks, you know, that they're using. So I think the long and short of it, that there's still room to have more banks, and that will be good for me and you as consumers going forward.
Yeah, and that raises such an interesting issue as well, Marco, because I guess for a lot of us, as we look into the history of UBank, and you realize they were known as Teba Limited, a long history in terms of looking to support mine workers, initially started off as a funeral plan, catering to mine workers. There's a rich sense of history here to culture, which speaks to the societal needs as well that we require as Black South Africans. Is this, I guess, still an opportunity that needs to be dug into, explored even further, especially for players within the informal market in the country?
I agree with you 110%. If a bank can just come from nowhere without a track record and able to make it, you know, then how about a bank like UBank, which has got the track record, people can relate to it, that, you know what, at some point I was getting money from my uncle through Deba or my father, stuff like that. So it's something that we can all relate to. But we hope that the new investors, if there will be any, then they have a business model which is able to cater for all these things. I mean, without mentioning names, we see some banks are saying that they are adding almost 750 customers a day, you know, opening accounts. They are sitting at almost 400,000 customers as we're talking. The guys, they've got deposits of almost over, 9 billion or so. The guys are claiming that they own already 20% of the market share when it comes to the credit cards, especially the ultra rich. So I'm saying people are making good penetration when it comes to that, and the new investors as well, for them to be able to compete, they have to make sure they come with a business model which is going to be very agile.
Got you on that one. Magwe, to close off with, I guess you're an investment analyst, you're a professional, you monitor and evaluate not only the metrics and of course the various calculations and numbers of various institutions and banks in South Africa. And a bit of an unfair question that I'm going to ask you, but when you take a look at...
And don't ask it if it's unfair, Google.
Say that again?
Then don't ask it if it's unfair.
But that's the point of radio, right? Is the fact that we've got you on air, and we'll ask it anyway.
No worries.
Perfect. But I was actually going to ask you, as an investor, for us who have an opportunity to invest and put some of our capital in these listed banks that we have in the country, do you have a firm favorite or a stock pick? And if you don't, you can also tell us, I guess, what to monitor and evaluate from the banking results, especially given this new cycle of rising interest rates and rising inflation that we're going into. So I'm putting you on the spot here to give us some stock picks, essentially.
Generally, an environment where interest rates are going up tends to be good for banks, provided the interest rates thereof are not that rapid, because they will kill the economy. People will lose jobs. But for banks, they'll start earning more when it comes to the interest income. And then what I can tell you is that all our banks, you know, when it comes to capital adequacy, when it comes to meeting their tier one requirements, they are well capitalized. You don't have anything to worry about. So it's all your guess that going forward, we might see maybe Bank A doing better now, but we get to be involved in a stock or we buy a stock because you say going forward, Bank A will do better than Bank B. So people can just maybe work it out and see who's coming with the most penetration going forward, because you might have given us good results the previous year. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we're buying you going forward. What is it that you're going to be doing? But generally, all our banks are okay. An interest rate environment where interest rates are going up tends to make good money for them. But provided, as I said earlier, the rapidness thereof is very important so that they don't go up in such a way, interest mm-hmm. rates, that they end up killing the real economy.
Got you. Ah, Makwe, you're so diplomatic and so polite. I thought you'd tell us red, green, blue, turquoise. Maybe
next time,
right?
Definitely.
Thanks so much for your time today, Mark. We really appreciate the insight you've shared with us. And of course, just reminding us of some of the fundamentals we need to stick to when it comes to investments. Understanding the macroeconomic cycle and how it influences banks and financial services institutions. But most importantly, also just going back to the earnings, to the fundamentals of reputations of the institutions we want to invest in. But he also gave us some insight and perspective on UBank as well. That's on the back of the huge story we heard yesterday with the South African Reserve Bank and National Treasury putting UBank under curatorship and officially under the curatorship of KPMG. A big thank you again to my guest, Makwe Masilela, Chief Investment Officer of Makwe Fund Managers.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.